the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, have you laughed at least once today? Come on.
I have. Good morning. And I have a funny feeling that there's going to be more hilarity in this next hour.
But we have been, even though we've been laughing, we've been giving the folks news.
In the 3 hours that we do our show, I can guarantee you that we touch basically every big story of the day.
I'd argue to say that when you're not here, we cover less news.
I'm not going to argue against that.
Yeah. When you're here, y'all get some news.
And if there's breaking news, big breaking news, yeah. We're going to take care of it.
No doubt about it. Hey, looking forward to the show. Make sure you guys text us on the text line, the State Roofing text line. It is 888-973-CHIRO. And coming up at 11:30, quick question. Do people still need to go to church? That's going to be the topic at 11:30. But right now, let's get to it. Agree to disagree? Brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
It is official. 8 new traffic cameras at key intersections in Seattle will start ticketing drivers who block intersections after the light turns red. That begins in January. Tickets will be $75, automatically mailed out to you. And you know the old saying, what happens in Seattle does not stay in Seattle. As you know, there are many cities around here that are growing, suburbs as well, and a lot of intersections that are problematic to make it through. G. Scott.
Yes.
Should other cities consider red light block the box cameras?
Yes. However, other cities should implement them, but I think that there should be no block the box tickets for downtown Seattle. Because the majority of the time when people get stuck, it's not their fault. Sometimes you have people that's like, oh, sorry, I'm running across the street. You don't want to hit them because if you hit them, you'll get in trouble, right? And so you're actually in there, or so another car just goes through the light. So sometimes, I'd say 50% of the time, when you get stuck in that box, Ursula, it's not your fault. My thing is, if I'm going to get this $75 ticket, I need everybody to get this ticket. I need, can a pedestrian get a $75 ticket for causing a vehicle to be cited for block the box? And the answer is no. Sometimes these pedestrians are the problem.
Well, that's a different charge. That would be what, jaywalking, or that would be some other charge if it's the pedestrian causing this. I have a question for all of you. Is anyone intentionally blocking the box? Other than Metro bus drivers?
Yes. Actually, that's my bone to pick with you, G. If you'd like me to explain
now. Yes.
It's illegal to enter the intersection unless you have a clear path to get through. Nobody ends up stuck in the box with a clear path through. There's not a car length through the intersection. You're anticipating that there will be space. And you're wrong. That is your fault. I understand how it's frustrating.
Yeah, so, it is frustrating. Have you ever been stuck at an intersection where it's cycled once, it's cycled twice, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go across because we cannot go through three cycles of lights without actually moving?
Yes.
Chef, you only go outside Tuesday through Friday. So what I'm trying to say is that this is a situation where the pedestrians, Chef, are the problem.
No.
So you're saying that the majority of people that are caught blocking the box, it is their fault.
If you could make it through the intersection, you wouldn't be blocking the box. The reason you're still stuck in the intersection is because you couldn't make it through the intersection. Yes, it is your fault. And the reason people also get stuck is because they get frustrated and they say, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to try and make it through. I think space will open up, and it doesn't.
Yes, that's
I've
exactly
been that person, just irate and also mortified because you're looking at the other drivers to the side like, yeah, sorry, I'm still here. I was trying, but I couldn't make it. Yes,
it's exactly your fault. That is going through my head. So you're okay with then getting the $75 each time that happens?
No. Here's the problem.
You made that argument and now you said no? I need to hear this.
I don't think that the cameras are the solution. If you have a problematic intersection, you need to have a light that turns on so that people cannot turn right on red. Because the people that turn right on red constantly, they have a space, they move in, they move in, they move in every mm-hmm. single time, and the people that are waiting at the actual light can never get through. And they also need to make all walk signals at intersections for pedestrians, so the pedestrians can walk, it all turns red, and then the cars can go, and you don't have that problem with pedestrians being still in the intersection when your light turns green.
So, good points. So, if this is just a pilot project to see, why does it not include Mercer Street, which is one of the worst offenders when it comes to blocking the box?
Ursula, you're asking me to divine the intentions of Seattle's Department of Transit. I can't
right.
do that,
this is
but
where
that would seem natural.
Exactly, and this is where it doesn't make sense. And the idea of spreading it to other cities, I would only do it if it's really a problem. But then again, if this continues to be a problem, then why not look at the traffic patterns in that intersection and see if there's something that can be done to avoid those situations where I get it, hold people accountable, but there are times when you do think that you've got the
but it doesn't
space
exist
doesn't
there.
Work.
You think future space will open up. It's not existing space.
Maybe that's the problem with being an optimist versus a pessimist. If you always think there's a chance it's going to clear up, then you're going to go.
I like that, Ursula. I like that angle. No, first of all, the text
just
line.
Just an optimist.
The text
I don't
line,
need to take
the text line is agreeing with Chef, which is making me mad right now.
I know. I think Chef won that one.
He did.
Well, I just wanted to sit here and soak on that for a minute. Okay, yeah, now we can move on. All right. You know, we've talked a number of times about whether it's okay if you should put one of those apps on your phones that lets you keep track of your kids or, you know, maybe lets you know where your wife is at. Just kind of for safety, family safety, life safety. This is the number one app in the country for doing this. Well, a bunch of employees actually came out and spilled the beans to The Verge, I believe, that the company is selling your precise location data of you, your kids, etc. This is the app that's supposed to keep you safe. Of course, this is happening. They're selling it to third-party vendors, so people who can track you for advertisements. But Ursula, I just have to ask, does it bother you that a third-party company can see your location all the time, anytime, if they pay for it?
Yes, but I think it's particularly egregious and really a stinky situation with this life safety where they're selling it as a safety measure and then on the side giving other companies that we're completely unaware of. I think that's just ethically and morally wrong. Not that I ever use this app, but I'm definitely never going to use that app. But yeah, it kind of bothers me.
Well, if you got a cell phone, it don't bother you that bad. If you right? Because we're all being tracked all the time. If you have social media and you...
Go ahead.
I don't like it. I'm with you on that. I don't like it. It really sucks. I sent someone a text message recently about asking about promoting of my brand and stuff like that, working with me. And all of a sudden, later on that night, I'm seeing ads the entire time for brand awareness and promoting your brand. And so all I'm saying is these things that we say we try to opt out of, I think the cat's out of the bag. We're in this forever. You can opt out all you want to. We are being tracked every single day.
Do you think that a company should disclose that they're selling your information? Anytime I go to any retail store and they say, hey, do you want to sign up for XYZ and get, you know, notices of promotions, et cetera, I say no. And then they ask again, okay, how about your number? No.
Ursula?
Please, no. My email is already at, you know, 10,000. I can't even, I'm tired of it. I don't want my information. So I want to know if you're going to be selling my information. I want you to promise if I'm going to be doing business with you that you're not selling my information.
If I leave outside and I leave work today and somebody meets me on the corner and say, hey, G, listen, man, I will pay you money to tell me the things that Ursula likes. And I'd be like, oh, she likes Vegas. She likes concerts. She likes going out to eat. Right. I'd go ahead and sell that information to somebody. No big deal.
You would.
I'm not hurting anybody. All I did was tell them what you like. I didn't tell them your personal information. I didn't tell where you lived. I just said what you liked. What I'm saying is that little you're upset with me, but
I'm not going to be selling your business, and I know that you don't mean that. But
I know
you're basically saying we should assume that companies do it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm not okay with it.
It's ironic because, gee, you bring up the point, like, a story like this comes up in the news, and we say, oh, that's terrible. You know, how could Life Safety, this safety app, possibly be doing this, is selling our information? Well, they're doing the same thing that Google is doing. They're doing the same thing that Facebook is doing.
Yeah.
The question is, who has the information, and what can actually be done with it aside from selling us products? And I think that is kind of the rabbit hole and the black hole that we don't know. Can someone compile this into a personal dossier using AI that can be used to target me based on embarrassing things that have happened in my life to blackmail me in the future? Will it be used to threaten my relationship or my kids? Like, is there safety at risk? And I think these are the answers that really, like, science fiction has taken on, and we don't really know the answer to yet. Just the information is out there. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there, and we have very little to no control if we want to participate in modern society.
So if I can have an opportunity to mitigate the damage, though, I will. So, like I say, if I know that... I mean, I spend a lot of time unsubscribing because suddenly all these different companies have my email, and... No, I don't want them to continue to bug me.
I just want to simplify this. Yes, I was joking about selling your information.
I
was just trying to make that point that if a company doesn't know Ursula, they don't care about selling your information. That's number one. But number two, Ursula, every single time over the last times that you've been on your trips and vacations, you've basically told companies what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You told them.
Yeah, but that's my choice.
Yeah. Sure, that's your choice.
Yeah.
But once we put it out there, it's out there.
Yeah, and I want to know.
In the future,
I also want to know.
In the future, that's how they're going to. How do you think they're going to start to figure out insurance, health insurance premiums? Right, like what you buy at Safeway at the grocery store. You put your code in. What you're talking about, where you're going, all the restaurants that you go to. Right. How often? Here's another thing too. How about Puget Sound Energy, right? They come and they see that you use the microwave all the time, but they see this other person doesn't use the microwave, right? So that might be more of a health risk. You use more microwaves. The future is all information, and it's how you truly are able to know what type of premium this person needs to pay for their health insurance, because we want to find out. You can say you don't smoke. You can say you don't drink. You can say you eat healthy. But the information says different. You've been on the black web. You've been trying to search for some stuff.
Speak for yourself.
Wait, why does the black web got to be the dark? You know what I'm saying? Why does it got to be the dark web? All right, go ahead.
Oh, it's hidden. It's not black.
Why does it got to be the black market?
I used to think that actually existed.
Why does it have to be blackmail?
I used to think the black market was a place with, like, black tarps covering tents put there to buy things.
When Colin Kaepernick couldn't play for a team, what did they call that? He was what, Ursula?
Was it blacklisted?
Blacklisted, blackballed, all that kind of stuff. All right, I apologize.
Go watch that video on Facebook. Our Facebook page, you'll understand.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, if you're anything like me, you're starting to get the sweats because Christmas is coming up, and you may not have done all of your shopping. However, there is a very important person on your list that you may not have considered, and if you're like 75% of Americans, that person is yourself. Have you bought yourself a Christmas present this year? Are you? Should you? Ursula, I just got to ask, though, because... I think a lot of people do this in a roundabout way. They will either hide the purchase from their partner, or they will present it right out in the open by giving it to their significant other as though it were for them. Do most people buy presents for other people that are actually meant for them?
I don't know about most, but I'm going to say I've done it. I just recently did it. Mark had a birthday, and... he was talking about wanting to, our TV happened to break at the same time. And he's one of those, it's very hard, when he wants something, you know, he's fortunate enough at this point to just go get it. So he doesn't have a lot of wants, and he's very low key. He doesn't, you know, so I will always try to buy something that's thoughtful, but really, and I will say this for both of us, we enjoy those, the love letters or the cards, et cetera, at this point in our lives, right? There was a time when that was different, but, so I bought him a TV. Our TV broke. I bought him a TV. I was like, okay, this is really for both of us. This is not something that you need. But, and then I got him a couple of other things. So yeah, I think this, and I've also bought things for myself at Christmas. If you know that this is something that you really, really want and maybe someone else is not going to get it for you, I have purchased something for myself. And then I've actually gone and wrapped it up and opened it at Christmas. What?
What?
Did you act surprised?
Wait, no, I didn't act surprised. No, wait. This is a time in the show that all laughs have to stop. The record player.
This is the
what?
Truth.
Yeah. What? You did what?
I didn't go into elaborate wrapping, but just so that I would actually have something under the tree. Because you know what happens to. I'm going to speak for many moms.
Don't make sweeping statements.
I said, that's why I stopped myself. I said, this happens for many moms. You are buying for everybody else. You're buying and buying for everybody else.
Okay.
And to help with other people so that they don't feel embarrassed too, I will put a present for myself in there so that it looks like I have something too. So everyone's like, look, mom got nothing or mom got very little.
This is... Are you being serious? I don't know if you're being serious or not.
Like, Ursula, you're real. This has happened in my house where you open the stockings and mom filled them all and no one filled mom's.
Thank you. Yes, I have done this.
I've never heard of this in my life.
But it. I know I'm not alone.
888-973-CHIRO. And you heard what Ursula just said. Have you ever done this or known somebody? I've never heard anybody say this before in my life.
That's the one way you can make sure that you're going to get the gift you want is if you buy it yourself, eh?
Ursula. At first, I was like, that was ridiculous. But the thing is, you're doing this because you don't want them to feel bad.
Yes.
My Lord. Wow. You are a wonderful woman.
Yeah, you are.
Aw.
Hey, coming up next, Americans are abandoning something. We'll discuss if that's a problem in our country. We do that next. It's Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show, our Tuesday morning edition. I hope your week is going well. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. On the show, we share a lot about ourselves. So I'm going to share something that I've never said on the air. But now that I'm no longer on the school board for Blanchett High School, which I was on for 6 years, I can share this. And one of the requirements when you are serving in a Catholic school setting is that, you know, presumably you'd be going to church. And one of the things that was not happening for me is that our family has stopped going to church regularly. Mm-hmm. And so it was always kind of one of those things where I had a certain amount of guilt that I wasn't going to church regularly like many people haven't. And during the pandemic, so this was even before the pandemic, but since the pandemic, a lot of Americans have abandoned church. And the Wall Street Journal covered this dilemma of church leaders around the country facing now financial and this existential dilemma. What do you do if people don't come back to fill the pews? Mm-hmm. And the journal pointed out that in-person church attendance is about 30 to 50% lower than pre-pandemic figures, even with most churches open for in-services. And so now churches are trying to plan for a hybrid future with online services and smaller in-person groups, et cetera. But this brings up the question, is this decline of religion in this country a bad thing, in your opinion?
Oh, boy. Yes.
And why did you say, oh, boy?
Because, I mean, you know, there's two things you're not supposed to talk about, politics and religion. And this is one of those. But you ask me, and I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I think yes. I think so. I can't speak for everybody else, but let me just speak for myself. There's so many things that when I was growing up that I didn't do because I was afraid to make the man upstairs unhappy. There were so many things that when no one was looking, I chose to do the right thing because of religion. You shared something. I've never shared something on the air before. In early 2003, I'm just going to say that I was living bad. And drinking and all kinds of stuff. And it was some Mormon missionaries. They came by and caught me at the right time. And they were the coolest dudes in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was baptized Mormon in mid-2003.
I didn't know that.
And here's what's interesting. So I stopped smoking. I mean, not smoking, but drinking and all that stuff. But once I stopped all that and I started to, like, I believe that this was really the change in my life. In October of 2003, somehow I got lucky and I was cleaning cars for the Seahawks. I'm not saying that religion was the reason for that. I'm saying that for me, I got my life back on track.
Mm-hmm.
When I started to go to church regularly. And by the way, when you go to church, when you're Mormon, it feel like you're in there all day. I'm in there. I felt all day. And then on Mondays, but I was doing everything that was involved in the church. Mondays, I was doing family home evenings. And those that are Mormon right now, you're listening to me. You know, I know what I'm talking about. Family home evenings on Monday and those things. So I do think that a lot of problems in our country, we've always had problems. But I think there's a lot of people that just don't care and they lack hope. And when you don't have hope, then you draw towards mm-hmm. desperation.
I think you're right. And I'm just looking back right now. I'm just thinking back to my childhood. And again, we went to catechism. My kids, we put them in Catholic schools.
Yeah.
And I always knew that I wanted them to have faith in their lives until they could make their own decisions as adults, whether they want to continue or not.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, the only times my family would go to church other than Saturday catechism, and to me, it was like Saturday. I don't even know what we're talking about. I'd be tuning out. And it just was all a mystery to me. But we didn't go to church, but I went to the church services or at the lessons.
Right.
But we'd always go to church when there was a crisis. So it was like suddenly we remembered our religion when our family was dealing with a crisis.
Sure.
So I don't even feel comfortable knowing what all the traditions are. And this is, and we've talked about this a little bit, and we're just being very open here right now.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the biggest things for me, but I agree with you. I envy those who have such a strong faith.
Same.
And can speak and talk about the Bible in a way that I never have been able to
yep.
do. Pull out, you know, different proverbs or different things that apply to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I think I have a very strong moral compass, but I don't have that deep understanding in faith.
Sure.
Which, again, I think that is one of the reasons that I wanted to have our kids in Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. And they have a great understanding and they can cite all different things and understand different religions, too, compared to the Catholic religion. And I think that's so important. So it's sad to me, but yet I look at it and I think about myself like, well, I didn't do it.
I think churches play a fundamental role in our society that is drastically changing, and we don't quite know what to fill that with. While church attendance and religious affiliation may be on decline in our country, that doesn't mean that spirituality is. That doesn't mean that morality is in decline either. And I think that people can find avenues for spirituality that don't necessarily mean attending an actual physical church service. And I would say there's also opportunities in this, too. I think the issue with a lot of people in church is they noticed that politics became intertwined with the teachings.
That's true.
And I think that that true messages and true faith resonates with people, and there will always be a place for that, and people will seek it out and they will find it. But our society is definitely changing.
I think that
I was going to say, one of the things that has been most difficult for me in particular with the Catholic Church, though, are some of the hypocrisies that I see.
Yeah.
And that has been a real struggle as well. But then again, what I love about the church is their commitment to community and their commitment to helping the poor and their commitment to helping those who are really, truly most vulnerable.
Right.
And you're hearing the beep because we're getting notice of an Amber Alert right now. But in any case, I think that this decline that we're seeing, I can understand why there is concern.
Everyone has their different opinions and views, but I know when every time there's a conversation about church, I think about the way that my grandmother, and she was one of the greatest people ever, and she used to take the bus to go to church because she never knew how to drive. And she would cook food and take food in a cart and get on the bus. And I always think all of those prayers never helped her financially, right? She was always poor. But you got to wonder, like, did her prayers help me? You know what I mean? Like,
she was also rich in other ways.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, coming up next, your text, your feedback, and in Ursula's words to live by. Gene Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all you guys. And I got to tell you, what a show. What a show. It has been all over the board. And the one thing I'll admit to you guys seen the show prep behind the scenes on the G and Ursula Facebook page. I post that. I try to do that every single morning to show you what we're doing. I promise you, we never know where the show's headed.
That is true. But I also promise you that we speak from our heart.
Yep.
And I just appreciate the interaction. I appreciate the ability to show that you are not alone. And I think in sharing what we really go through, I think that it allows for other people to realize that they share a lot. Again, we're not even talking about politics. We're not talking about, you know, whether you're on the left or you're on the right. It's just like, people. This is real life stuff.
Yeah. Because when we talk about the text line, talking about buying yourself a Christmas present, and it's something that Ursula brought up. Ursula, we were talking, and Ursula says, oh, yeah, sometimes I have bought myself a gift and wrapped it and put it under the tree so that I have something to open. So when she had said that, I thought, wait, what? I've never heard of that before. And oh my goodness, Ursula, you unlocked something that is so deep.
Yeah. So we got a ton of text messages on that. 360 says, this is true. Moms get the short end of the stick for the exact reasons that Ursula said. I've put gifts and stuffed stockings for myself so that I don't feel bad on Christmas morning. There, I said it.
Wow. Christina and Graham says, yes, I've done this just about every year. It keeps the awkwardness and weird looks at each other or a thing when it comes time to open our gifts. Everyone is happy and it's a great Christmas. It's not that big of a deal and nobody is left out or feels left out. That's worse than doing this. Love the show.
Mariah Goldbar says, OMG, I do this every year. I buy everyone's gifts, myself, my husband, my kid, wrap them, tag them, and forget about them until Christmas is perfect. My husband loves the praise of buying such good gifts.
425 says, after my wife died, I began buying a gift for my dog and cat, to even though I exchanged gifts with my kids. Also, my late wife would fill our stocking and I made sure she had something in hers. Miss her dearly.
253 says, Ursula, your comment on buying your own Christmas gift hit home. I always felt a little left out, but watching my daughter's joy was priceless.
Ursula, we did something yesterday. I want to try it again. And we did something like your favorite part of the show. And we kind of did about 30 seconds to wrap up what your favorite part of the show was. I will go first to start it off. My favorite part of the show today was this discussion of buying gifts for yourself, because what it did was it had listeners text in, and there were some listeners that talked about how they were going to be alone during this Christmas holiday. And I just want to say that you're not alone. We're going to be here with you.
For sure. And my favorite part of the show was just the last 3 hours. I love when we get a chance to talk about bosses. That's always fun. And I enjoy that. But I think it's just being able to keep it real.
Yeah.
I loved our scenarios today. I think we need to talk about that, because even though we totally disagree on this, it got a lot of people talking. You know, is a gaming addiction something that you should be okay with in your relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I still say, if it means that it's making you miss work, mm-hmm. I think there's a bigger problem there.
Sure.
And I will say that many agreed with me.
Yeah, it did. Chef, your favorite part of the show, bro?
It was Ursula. It was Ursula opening my eyes to the fact that I need to be a much more thoughtful husband. I need to be a much more thoughtful son. And I need to teach my son and daughter to do the same. Because frankly, I've been there on that Christmas morning when mom didn't have anything in the stocking. There are so many moms out there that texted in that they've had that experience. It blew my mind. It's on our Facebook page. People are commenting about it there. And I cannot imagine, if that happened to me, I would be crushed.
But your mom doesn't want you to feel crushed. So if she's feeling that, I know.
That is the point. Like, that you moms would.
That's the point.
That's the whole thing.
God bless you moms out there, and all you dads too.
Shout out to the fellas. Please don't let this happen in your household. Nick, what did you like about the show today?
I like the fact that Chris Sullivan came onto the show midway through. But I just got to tell you, G, don't you make fun of Sully for bringing books into the workplace, all right? He can bring that traffic book in whenever he wants. He's a saint.
Good
love,
stuff.
Sully.
Good stuff, Nick. And of course, if you've missed all of these conversations, you do have the opportunity after the show to listen to the podcast. Go to the G and Ursula Show. And however you listen to podcasts, you can't miss it. It's going to be here for you every single day. Ursula, it's time for our words to live by.
And I got so caught up in our discussions today that I don't have something prepared, but I just want a reminder that to remind everybody that a little bit of kindness goes such a long way. And the one thing that you do to someone to show that you care could be that thing that really changes their life. So as we leave today, try to think of one thing that you can do that could brighten someone's day. And maybe it could be something that's really the life changer.
All right, we got to go. Appreciate you guys for listening. Love you for that. And be good.